ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
ABC Cricket Podcast time at the end of day three of the first test from Morara Oval in Darwin. Australia and Bangladesh, the Aussies entered the day playing catch-up big time, and it continued on the third day. What we're doing right throughout this test series is Grandstand at Stumps is coming to you right here through the ABC Cricket Podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts, and embedded as part of the show, you'll get Ed Cowan's hot take of the day. So all of that to come right now on Grandstand at Stumps.
This is Grandstand at Stumps on ABC Local Radio, Sport Digital and ABC Listen. Just look for the cricket button.
You can call it extreme optimism. Perhaps it was a bit of Aussie arrogance or faith in a great team of the past. But even after Australia were outplayed comprehensively on day one and on day two, there was still a little bit of belief that the home team could do something special. Well, on day three, that faded somewhat to a bit of helplessness and perhaps an inevitability about this contest here. Bangladesh still at stumps now after a third day on top in the test. We are halfway through the third innings of the match almost, with Australia 4 for 161. They still need 67 runs just to make Bangladesh bat for a second time in the match. Alex Carey's 19 not out. Cam Green is there on 43. This is Grandstand at Stumps on ABC Sport. Corbin Middlemass alongside the man who took nearly 260 wickets at test level for Australia, Jason Gillespie. Diz, it's more of the same. End of day three, the Aussies in chase mode. Big time.
Very much so, and you just feel that it's this partnership, isn't it? There's one that's developing between Alex Carey and Cameron Green. They need to do the heavy lifting here, the bulk of the work, if Australia are going to have a chance at not only saving this game but winning this test match. They need to do the bulk of the work.
They were going to need a big innings in the third innings of the match, and you felt like Xavier Doherty. There were two guys in particular that Australia was looking to. One was Travis Head, one was Steve Smith. Neither of them got to 50. They're both out now, and the Aussies are going to have to do it without them.
They are. It's another test that Australia are going to face, as you say. Corb, we look to those older names and those guys who have stood up before. It's going to have to be a couple of new ones, isn't it? You know, the two at the crease at the moment, you know, Carey and Green, it seems to have just settled things down a little bit. Green's looked excellent while he's been there. You know, very calm. You know, you wouldn't tell that the pressure is getting to him. And Alex Carey, it looks like he lives for this situation. So, you know, he just thrives when they're under a bit of pressure, and it's not that often that they are. But you're right, yeah, Head tried. He was batting as though he was trying to restrict himself and trying to get through, and it just wasn't to be for him today. And then Steve Smith, you know, he was, of the 6,000 or so people here today, he was certainly included in one of them that was surprised when he got out. It just didn't. It didn't look like he didn't look like losing his wicket, did he? But it's, that's the game of cricket. One slight little misstep or drop in conversation, and he's on his way back. So yeah, it's going to take someone else or a couple of other people in this Australian lineup to keep him in it.
So quick little story of the day. First of all, Bangladesh resumed their first inning, 6 down, 153 ahead in the test match, and they batted all the way through until nearly the half-hour mark in the second session, when they were eventually all out for 426. They led the test by 228 on the first innings. Hazelwood picking up the last four Bangladeshi wickets to finish with 6 for 89, including his 300th at test level. Incredibly, Bangladesh batted almost as long as the entirety of the Perth test match last year in the Ashes. It also meant Australia had to do something that they have never done before and overturn a deficit of as many on home soil to win a test match on the first innings. Both openers chopped on. Travis Head for 17, Jake Weatherald for a third ball duck off the bowling of Hassan Mahmood, and both Manus Labuschagne and Steve Smith got starts. Manus out for 31, Smith for 44, but would go no further. So Cam Green there at close, 43 not out, and Alex Carey not out on 19. Really in our pregame we were talking about, how quickly can Australia wrap this up? And you felt like exit, it needed to be somewhere in the first hour. I'm sure part of the plan wasn't still to be bowling almost half an hour after lunch.
No, and again, it wasn't down to the lack of trying from the bowlers. You know, maybe the fielding was certainly played a role in Australia not being able to wrap it up. The drop catches yesterday on top of that, you know, I think it was five in the end in total throughout the innings, but what we saw today was a rattled Australian team, which is certainly not what we predicted coming into this test match. You know, the drop catch from Smith, the fact that they were able to get off strike Sri Lanka when Australia worked so hard to get Taskin or one of the other lower order players on strike. It was just a very un-Australian fielding performance. The bowlers tried their absolute backsides off, and you know, it was great to see Josh Hazlewood get the rewards, and Starkey's, you know, was up over 140 again today, just backing it up again. But yeah, they just lacked a little bit of punch, and Bangladesh were able to win another session.
Well, let's not take anything away from Bangladesh. They played good old-fashioned test cricket, didn't they? I think they were fantastic, and I agree with you, X. I think the bowlers were fine. They worked hard. The surface has settled right down. There's no doubt about it. We talked about maybe today being the best day to bat, and Bangladesh certainly made the most of that. The Australians are looking to make the most of that. Four down in this second innings. But, yeah, there's still a long way to go, Corby.
We saw in the World Test Championship final at Lord's on a featherbed the inability for the Aussie bowlers to try and be able to make something happen. And in the end, obviously, Markram got hold of them, and we know what happened thereafter. This is a team that has obviously been so successful for such a long period of time bowling. It's usual lengths without being able to get a little bit of assistance, whether it's through the air or off the seam. Is there anything in that, Diz, that on a very flat wicket, that sort of seemed across three days and six different sessions that the Aussies struggled to make things happen?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure. I think they're... Sorry, Dave.
No, you did ask, Dizzy. But I wanted to jump in. It's scoreboard pressure, Corb. When you make 198 in the first innings, you don't have that pressure on the batter to be able to back it up. So it became very easy for them.
This is Grandstand at Stumps on ABC Sport. Corbin Middlemouse alongside Xavier Doherty and Jason Gillespie. 4 for 161 is the score at Stumps. Australia still 67 behind in the test, just to make Bangladesh bat for a second time. Mitchell Stark's been good enough to join us, future Hall of Famer with us on the Boundary's Edge. Mitch, tough sledding through the first 3 days. How do you sum up the state of play at the end of the third day?
Yeah, we're certainly pushing it uphill, aren't we? But, I think, you know, Bangladesh have obviously showed a lot of patience through their batting innings. They probably, although we've won the toss on a wicket that we weren't sure about, we're probably one of those wickets where you want to lose the toss and be told what to do. But, probably saw the most in the wicket for the bowlers through that first session of day one, maybe a bit after lunch. And then it's sort of gone out, the air's gone out of the wicket and we weren't good enough to capitalise in the first innings, but then as a batting team, Bangladesh have really showed that patience, made us bowl to them and kept us out in the field a long time. So there's no mistaking we're a long way behind in this game, but we've still got a lot of fight and scrappiness.
Just on the toss, if you had your time again, would you have gone the other way? Like, was it that dramatic that...
I'm not the captain, so don't worry about that. it's clearly a wicket we have no idea about. There's been no long format cricket on, so there's no numbers to go off. I don't know of any discussions prior to the game, but... hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? And you look at the wicket now and there's no real demons in it. I think Travis mentioned at one of the breaks, there's a few little surface cracks underneath that grass covering, but the odd one's staying low. But outside, you know, the brand new ball, obviously the first session, there was a bit of sideways movement, a little bit of swing. Outside of that, there's been a little bit of skid with the hard new ball, and after 10 overs, it's all the air's out of it. So there's no pace or... any sideways movement once that 10 overs wears off.
So, Mitch, just a couple of words on your mate, Josh. He got 6 for, he brought up his 300th wicket, and, you know, we know the challenges he's had. You know, he's been in and out. He hasn't played much cricket in the last year. He must be proud of your big mate at the other end.
Yeah, absolutely. It's look, he's probably not had it his own way body-wise the last 12, 18 months, and it's probably, you know... If his body was right to go, he probably would have taken his 300th maybe 18 months ago. So,
sure.
No, really pleased for him. He's done the hard yards to get back in his team and 6 for on that wicket and to obviously bring up his 300th. Very proud for him. I'm sure he will be as well. And hopefully, you know, if we fight as hard as we can and you never know in cricket, but hopefully, a beer at the end of the game with a smile on your face, maybe.
Starkey, what is the modern way of debriefing mid-test? Because clearly the batting today, this afternoon from you guys, there was an attitude change. Is the modern... Was there something said at the end of, you know, the first innings that we sort of need to change our ways from the chaos that we're probably used to over, you know, the new way that cricket, test cricket is played? There's certainly things calmed down a little bit in that second innings.
I stay right away from batting conversations. So perhaps, I'm not sure. We were just focused on trying to bowl them out. But yeah, clearly there's been a little bit of a change. As I said, the wickets probably calmed down from that first session on day one. But we see that last partnership or that last spirit of the day's play with Cam and Alex takes some momentum back, gets some time in the middle for both of them to have some confidence into tomorrow. There's still 2 days of cricket left. We're obviously behind in the game a fair way, but it's a funny game, isn't it?
Just on your preparation overall, so there were some numbers that came out on Crick Info after the lean return, obviously, in the first innings total, about how the team performs with the bat after long layoffs, and all of them were, you know, sub 210. Did your preparation need a review after this, in the way in particular your batters go about it? Obviously, your bowlers are a different story, but is that something that you'll look at?
How would you do it?
Well, it's just, do you need more competitive cricket? Do you need a first-class game? Is there something like that that could be incorporated before the return to Test cricket after such a long layoff?
See an Australia A game against Australia.
That would be entertaining. I'd watch it. Is there anything in that in terms of the fact
that we've seen
a pattern here?
There's clearly no perfect preparation. Whether you've got guys playing county cricket in England, you've got guys clearly going to franchise cricket at different times. I'm not saying that was the case in this one. It is an unusual one for us as well, because we're normally on overseas tour this time of year, so you throw that into the mix as well. Preparation changes tour on tour based on the schedule, based on the personnel and whatnot. So I would say it's been very personalised, the preparation. I can speak from the bowling group. We've been in Brisbane every week, you know, bowling. You know, I've had Barnes in there batting 3 hours at a time and whatnot, a few batsmen here and there. But, yeah, it's very individualised, I think, preparations for tours these days. Who's to say you play a tour game and that the result's not the same? So it's hindsight's a wonderful thing, and that's an easy target to say that preparation's not right. It was with England last year. I'm sure it will be down the track for us and different teams as well, but each their own.
Did anyone have a chat to Travis when he came in about picking up the bail and putting it back on after he got out? I don't know. We've seen that since WG Grace.
Amazing.
Each to their own again.
it's not something you see every day.
No, it's not.
It's very unusual.
Travis is his own man.
He is, absolutely. Hey, Mitch, appreciate your time. All the best tomorrow and for the remainder of the series.
Thanks very much.
Mitchell Stark with us from the Australian cricket team. This is Grandstand at Stumps on ABC Sport, with Australia still needing another 67 just to make Bangladesh bat for a second time in the test. But this team does value being fresh. Yep. They've spoken about that in the past. And they have been, I'm not saying Mitchell Stark was there, but they have been quite defensive in the past when their preparation is questioned. But I've touched on those numbers, and we've spoken about it a couple of times throughout the test so far. So the four times that they've come back to play after long layoffs,
yep,
these are the returns. So 104 all out, 212 all out, 132 all out, 198 all out. So it's not a lightning strike out of the blue. I mean, that's a lot of data over a period of time that shows that when they've had a long layoff from Test cricket, they've had lean returns in their first innings back with the bat.
Yeah, they have. And, I mean, those numbers don't lie, do they? And I think Mitch answered that question really well. I mean, it is, they talk a lot about very individualised preparation. There's, you know, players all over the world, franchise cricket, he mentioned county cricket and the like. But, you know, he did say the bowlers were bowling regularly up in Brisbane. Marnus was batting for 3 hours at a time. I mean, facing the Australian bowlers at a training facility in Brisbane, it'd be pretty good preparation for a test match. But I think we all talk about maybe hark back to the old days where, you know, you play a tour match. But I thought he raised a good point. Who would you play against?
I know that it was a tongue-in-cheek yeah, suggestion from him that Australia play Australia, but that has happened, doesn't it? Was that not that long ago where they went to England and took 25? And obviously there were quite a few already over there, but they didn't have to... Like they played a 4-day, and it was a 4-day game against each other, and it was a selection trial almost. Yeah. And isn't that the sort of competitiveness that you want going into a test match? And clearly, this is not a first Ashes test, but it's a test match. Why would you value it any less?
I think a suggestion could be you reward some Shield players from the previous season, because they name a Shield team of the year, don't they? Yeah. Could that Shield team of the year play a game against a first class game against the Australians in preparation for Test series? I don't know.
Or maybe the thinking was, these are the warm-up games for South Africa, right, and they get two test matches against Bangladesh to find their groove before they go to South Africa. And we've seen how that's panned out across the first 3 days so far, well and truly behind in the test, needing 67 more runs to avoid an innings defeat. They did look frazzled, must be said, in the morning session. So we saw Steve Smith drop one that he'd ordinarily take. There was a no ball for having three players behind square at one point. There were just some weird things going on that we don't associate with the Australian cricket team. And I know the bar's set incredibly high, so they're a victim of their own high expectation. But it's been a long time since we've seen an Australian team like that across, you know, three different days, six different sessions, trying to grind it out in the dirt over 130 overs. And it felt like they were fraying at the edges a little bit by the time they were done.
Remind me again, Corby, when was the last time Australia fielded for so long?
So it was Ahmedabad on the flatty in India at the end of the Border Gavaskar Trophy. Right. So,
yeah, it's old school cricket, isn't it? And clearly they're not used to that. That was Bangladesh playing their game, you know, the way that they're used to playing, you know, grind it out, play it hard and tough. And I'm not saying that Australia can't do that, but they're not used to it. And, yeah, like Corby touched on, drop catches aren't unique to, you know, but they certainly highlighted when the team's going badly. But it was the other things, the letting the set batter off strike when they didn't really need to, the three behind square, just all these little things that just kept adding up. The six off the last ball was just like, wow. Like, we don't see these things very often. You know, the last ball before lunch, it was just a cumulative sort of process of all these things added up. It's like, yeah, this is not the Australian team that we're used to. And there are outs for that. You know, it's a long layoff. It's the first test, and they probably weren't expecting this sort of competition. They won't say that, of course, but they probably weren't expecting this sort of competition.
Well, I think a lot of people were anticipating a gulf between the two teams. We certainly haven't seen that. And if we have, it's been the other way around in what Bangladesh have been able to do and play from in front throughout. Of course, this is Grandstand at Stumps. Great to have you with us. If you are with us for the podcast feed, the ABC Cricket Podcast, new episode every Monday with Ed Cowan, give his thoughts on what's going on in the game. And what he does at the end of each day's play throughout this Test series against Bangladesh, he gives us Teddy's thought of the day.
How good is Test cricket in winter? How good is Test cricket in Darwin? One thing you can guarantee is the weather. And that's unfortunate, because Australia are having it handed to them, and the only thing that looks like saving them would be some rain. But I don't think it's rained in Darwin this time of year for nigh on 50 years. So they're up against it. Bangladesh have won every session. They're not dominating the test match. They're absolutely obliterating the Aussies in all facets of the game. And often it's the little moments or the one percenters that really give you an insight as to where teams are at mentally and physically. And I thought it was this morning. You know, more drop catches. Smith dropped a sitter. And, you know, letting tail-enders off strike when you shouldn't to give the set batsman at the end of overs. Just those little moments said that these Aussie guys are just, they're underdone. And it showed. And I think we're seeing a historic test for the Bangladeshis.
I love how Eddie sits on the fence, Corb.
Yeah. Well, he calls it as he sees it. That's what makes him as popular as he is. But that's the analysis from someone watching on from afar, and I think that's probably a pretty good pulse check too of the Australian cricket community and how they feel about the first 3 days that have unfolded here in Darwin.
Yep, and I completely agree with him. The Aussies do look like they're a bit rusty, a bit underdone. But, you know, what's the solution? Is it to a game? Is it more practice X? I'm not sure. What do you think?
Well, a practice game would be ideal. Bangladesh played one, didn't they? No, they played one. Why wouldn't the other team? So,
Or is it time that we start talking about Bangladesh differently? I mean, they won four of their last five test matches. They had a 2-0 sweep of Pakistan. If Pakistan came here, we would say, oh, look, they're a tricky opponent. Australia should win, but, you know, one in every six, maybe Pakistan will surprise. Maybe Bangladesh is that team now. Maybe they're the team on the rise, and we should speak about them differently.
Well, they've certainly played some solid cricket, haven't they? And in these conditions, it's been a nice wicket and suits Bangladesh. You know, stump-to-stump sort of bowling, grinding it out, batting long periods of time, not too phased about the short ball. Well, and the short balls aren't really getting up anyway, so they sort of bordering on subcontinental conditions. So they certainly do have those things in their favour, but yeah, not to discredit the way they've played, they've been sensational for all nine sessions.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you mentioned the short balls, that the Australians that normally go to that short ball plan, they didn't take the bait. Bangladesh, they're just happy to ride it or avoid it, sway out of the way. They did not bite. I barely remember a pull or hook shot from any of the Bangladesh batters. They just let them go. And because bowling fast and bowling bounces regularly is tiring. It is really, really tiring. And you can only do it for so long, Corby.
A couple of individuals to focus on. First of all, with the ball, Josh Hazlewood, who brought up a special milestone today.
Hazlewood in again to Abbott, and he plays all around it. Comes off the bat, through to the keeper, Carey, and that'll do. Hazlewood wraps it up. He finishes with six. But Bangladesh, the halfway stage of the Test match, are well on top. All out for 426.
Brought up his 300th Test wicket in the process. He finished with six for Josh Hazlewood, so 301. He becomes the ninth Australian player to get to 300. What a milestone for him to reach.
Absolutely, and we spoke about it on air, Corb, didn't we, where he sits as far as averages go in getting to 300, and he is right up there amongst the greats. And, you know, it's quite strange that we keep talking about, you know, is it him or Boland? And, you know, Boland's a great... He's done absolutely everything, yeah. Everything to put pressure on this Australian team and to get a chance when it comes around. But Josh Hazlewood is so good. You know, and I think people, despite the injuries, you know, he is so good. And every time he is fit, that this is why they pick him.
Correct. I couldn't agree more. He's been absolutely brilliant. You know, a lot of the media speculation and the public opinion is that Scotty Boland's breathing down his neck, and rightly so. I mean, Scotty's got 80-odd wickets at 19. He's been absolutely brilliant, but the numbers don't lie, X, as you guys mentioned. And, you know, over 300 Test wickets, he's been superb for Australia.
6 for 89, his figures in this match. So, in the first inning. So, obviously, Josh Hazlewood, congratulations to him. He clearly led the way for the Australians. He picked up the last four Bangladeshi wickets on day three. To the batting, so 228 is the magic number. That's what the Aussies need to get to just to... avoid the embarrassment of an innings defeat at home to Bangladesh. So it started up top with Jake Weatherald, all eyes on the local lad, the first homegrown Territorian to play Test cricket. Didn't last long. Three balls in, Jason Gillespie, he was on his way back. He chased a short, wide one, didn't quite climb off the wicket, ball one. Then he got bat on ball, knocked it out towards cover point. There was no run in that. Third ball, too close to cut, tried to throw the hands at it, pin the ears back. Jammed it straight back onto his pegs, and that was it. His stay at the crease came to a close after just three balls.
Yeah, I think that was a classic case of a batter wanting to get bat on ball and get down to the other end and get off naught, because it was clearly too close to play that cut shot. It was with a bat at 45 degree. What you want to do as an opener early in your innings, you want to either play with an absolute vertical bat and look to hit the ball back where it came from, or wait for the width and play with a horizontal bat. And anywhere in between, you're asking for trouble. And that's what happened in the case of Weathers and Travis.
Is he in the hottest seat in the Test team at the moment, Jake Weatherald?
Well, I think so. What do you think?
He absolutely is. Yeah. But we spoke about it before play, Corb. I think despite how today went and the rest of this Test match, they're not knee-jerk selectors.
No.
I can't see them throwing Inglis in unless there's an injury drafting someone else in cold to take his spot. So I think Weathers will stick it out for Mackay, but that becomes a really big Test match individually for him.
I agree. I completely agree with the X. The selectors are very loyal to their players and give them one extra game than get rid of them a game too early, I suppose. You could use that analogy, but I certainly think if there's more failures in Mackay, then I think some serious questions will be asked and some serious conversations will be had among the selection group and the coach.
And then that's a baptism of fire for whoever comes in.
That's right.
It's all of a sudden, hey, the first test is in Durban, we'll see you there, and you're playing the World Test Champions in South Africa. Weatherald's returns, by the way, Duck 23, 72, 17 not, 18, 1, 10, 5, 21, 34, 23, Duck. So the ones that are really going to hurt him there are the scores in the 20s and 30s where he's had an opportunity to get away and hasn't been able to go on with it. Brings us to Manus Labuschagne, who walked in at first drop and looked pretty good for his 31, and then played all around one from Tajul Islam and really yorked himself, and then he was on his way out. What do we think from Manny's innings today?
I loved his cricket, you know, and I don't often say that about a 31 or 59, but I really enjoyed the way he went about it, and it looked from ball one a different innings to, he's certainly, you know, he's obviously one that self-reflects. You know, he's one off 20 in the first innings, you know, despite the conditions, and the conditions were very different today, but his attitude was different. He was looking to score. Scoring was his first option, then leaving was his second. So which is something obviously he learnt and spoke with Diver and whoever else around him between innings. But really enjoyed his cricket. Obviously, Australia need more out of him than a 30, but he looked really good, and I wouldn't be surprised if a big score is not too far away in Mackay.
And Dizzy, Cam Green's 43 unbeaten, so sort of quietly just went about his work, didn't he? Knocked him around. There was one sort of nervy moment where he got an inside edge that Snicko seemed to show it, clipped the bail on the leg stump on the way through, and the bail remained on. But what have you seen from Cam's 43?
It looks quite organised to me in this innings thus far, and getting those big strides in, particularly against the spinners. But even with the seam bowlers, he's looking to get down the wicket and full face of the bat. I think he's looked pretty organised, Corb, and you know, he's doing everything he can. And I mean, let's face it, Australia need him to put a significant score on the board here.
Yep, he scored a memorable 100 in Wellington. It was outside of that, it was Ahmedabad. The last time the Aussies were in the field for as long, he came out and got his maiden test ton. So he's got plenty of opportunity to bat on a really good wicket. So he's got Alex Carey there with him at the moment, Webster to come, and then into the bowlers. Australia still need another 67 runs just to make Bangladesh bat again. I referenced it in the chat with Mitchell Stark, but Travis Head, he thrills us on the field, and then he even surprises us at times where, what was he doing today? He got bowled and then turned around, had a good look, didn't just look at the stumps, which a lot of batsmen don't do. Turned around, picked the bail up, reset it for the umpire, and then decided to turn and walk off.
Yeah, I haven't seen that before.
It was like therapy. It was like therapy. It was like, I'm not ready to walk off just yet. I just need to do something. I can't kick them over, so I might as well reset them.
And was there a moment in the Steve Smith DRS, or were you reading too much into that, where it appeared that he called for the DRS before the umpire had given him out?
Which is what I thought he did at the time. And I thought, geez, he's trying to influence Kumar's decision there. But you look back, and Kumar's actually nodding straight away. So he feigned to signal for a review before Kumar had actually put the finger up. But I think it was the fact that he was... He was nodding, Kumar. So Steve was ready to go. So, nothing to see here for me for that.
And the big deal, if it was the other way around, is obviously trying to impact the umpires.
Which is obviously a no-no.
Yep. The only other weird thing that happened today is that Tanzeer Hassan, after scoring the 100 on day two, was fielding a ball and somehow spiffed it at the stumps, but in between was his skipper. So threw it at him around waist tight, and Najmal Shanto did his best to be able to keep that out and take evasive action. Yeah, everyone was okay on the back end of that. But that's day three done. Australia still need another 67 just to make a Bangladesh bat for a second time. Thank you, Diz.
Thank you, Corb.
Thanks, X.
Thanks, Corby.
Jason Gillespie, Xavier Doherty. Thanks to Phil Jakes upstairs. Thanks also to Jim Maxwell and to Ben Cameron. Thanks to Con and Ronell back in the studio. And on behalf of our entire team, we are done on Grandstand at Stumps. You can listen to the whole episode wherever you get your podcasts through ABC Cricket Podcast. We'll catch you tomorrow for day four. So that was Grandstand at Stumps, available right here on the ABC Cricket podcast feed. You can catch it at the conclusion of each day's play. And don't forget, at the conclusion of the test match, we'll also have a full review of the test. Ed Cowan will join me, as always, for the ABC Cricket podcast. We'll catch you then.